I was like,
ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the American Nightmare Podcast. This is episode number 83, recorded February 18th, 2025. Wow. All right.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, what a month it is. So we're recording much earlier than normal. But we still, all good.
Yeah,
it's all
good. They won't know the difference.
Right. Yeah, actually, because I'm probably not going to release this until another week from now. I got a family coming to visit nice. Tomorrow, and they're going to be here until next Tuesday.
Sweet. That's cool.
And I figured, you know, we might as well do it early. And then I tried to do it a different date, and then you guys are, nah, I got something else going on. So we might as well just get it done and out of the way.
Yeah, Tuesday night. Sad news is, any Tuesday nights.
Yeah, the sad news is we're going to miss a bunch of news, but that's fine. I mean, there's plenty of news here to begin with, so.
Yep.
All right, let's get started with some news. Number one, I'm going to start with older news and work our way up to today. Black Phone 2 is wrapped filming.
Nice.
According to a Blue Sky post from Scott Derrickson, he says Black Phone 2 is wrapped, and he couldn't be more excited about what they shot.
Interesting.
Okay. Very excited.
Because how do you revisit that movie after the ending? But
Here's a great thing is I read an interview with him in, it might have been Variety or something, where he said, look, I didn't want to do a rehash. I didn't want to do a part two that's like we're trying to pick up the story and keep going or whatever. He wanted to do something unique, something different, something that was going to require a lot more effort. And he said he wanted to get this done after he did The Gorge. So he filmed The Gorge first, and then he filmed this. And he said he's very excited about it. He thinks audiences will be pleasantly surprised. So now that it's done filming, I assume this is only 2 weeks ago. I assume that eventually there's going to be some screenings and shit going on, which hopefully I'll get a chance to see one of those because it would be really cool. I really enjoyed the first movie.
Yeah, it'll be
very,
interesting to see how they go about that.
Yeah.
Did you watch The Gorge?
I saw The Gorge at a premiere at the –
Arrow
Theater
with a Q&A session with Scott Derrickson, which was awesome. I was pleasantly surprised. It was a very, very fun kind of a popcorn movie, you know, like something you'd go to the theater with your family and stuff. And
is it a monster flick? Not to spoil anything, but.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All
right. Yeah. It kind of reminded me a little bit of I don't know if you guys have seen Annihilation.
Yeah,
you guys
both
have.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
It was kind of a little bit like that.
Okay, the crazy bear.
You'll see. I mean, if you see it, you'll get it. It's on. It's an Apple TV Plus. Apple.
Yeah.
Paid for that film, so it's an Apple film. So if you got iPhones or iPhone products in your house, you probably have a free Apple TV subscription. Chris, you don't, so you're kind of SOL, I guess. You may have to go to Craig's house and watch it.
Yep.
Megan 2.0 has a teaser trailer out.
Oh, sweet.
No interest.
Yeah, the first movie, I wish it were rated R. The fact that it was PG-13 kind of undercut.
That's when I stopped in the middle of the movie and just bagged it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was decent.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good, and I think they learned some lessons from the first movie, then perhaps it'll be a better film. I don't know. We'll see. Teaser trailer dropped last week for The Rule of Jenny Penn. This stars John Lithgow and Jeffrey Rush.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, that's pretty freaking awesome. That's quite the cast right there. John Lithgow is...
And they're up there in age.
Yeah, John Lithgow was the Trinity Killer in the Dexter series. I don't know if you guys watched Dexter. I finally finished rewatching all the seasons of Dexter, and then I watched Dexter New Blood. I just finished that last week, and I just started the Dexter, whatever the one of him as a teenager. Yeah, the prequel. Yeah. And now they're filming Dexter Resurrection here in Long Beach. So I'm excited about that too. Yeah, so this movie, when I watched the trailer and I posted it up on our Blue Sky, a former judge must stop an elderly psychopath who employs a child puppet to abuse the residents of their shared rest home with deadly consequences.
That's like a serial killer inside of an old age home.
Old age home, yeah. It comes to theaters March 7th, and it is an IFC Shudder film. It will be on Shudder thereafter.
So, that sounds fun.
Yep.
Yeah. The cast of Anaconda released a video on YouTube, comical little singing by Jack Black and some bongos by Paul Rudd, nice. Announcing the cast members of the film that's coming out shortly. The cast is Jack Black, Paul Rudd, Daniel Menquire, Thad Wine, Newton, and Steve Zahn. Directed by Tom Formation.
Tandy Newton, sweet.
Yeah, so that's there's a little video I posted that to our Blue Sky also, so check it out. Peacock is working on The Burbs. It's a series based on the great comedy horror The Burbs.
Tom Hanks.
Sweet.
Yeah, that's a great movie. I love that film. Yeah, I wish it would come out on 4K. It's one of those films that I think is good enough to be on 4K. I would like to see it.
Yeah.
According to Deadline, Jack Whitehall, the director, from Jungle Cruise, Julia Duffy from who was in Palm Royal, Paul Appel from Girls Five Eva, I don't know what that is. Mark Porsche for What We Do in the Shadows, and Kapil Tawalker from Joey's Extraordinary Playlist have joined Peacock's cast for the upcoming mystery comedy series The Burbs.
Sweet.
It's on Peacock, so I probably won't watch it. Nope. What a bummer, but I don't know. Maybe you could stretch this out into a TV show. Maybe not.
Yeah. Peacock's pissing me off. They canceled Hysteria.
They got rid of all their free stuff, too. Like, they used to have, like, a few handful of stuff, where as long
pretty
as you
much
had the
all
app,
gone now.
It's yep. all gone. They yep. wanted me, they threw me off and wanted me to log in. Like, so nothing was free anymore. I'm like, well.
Yeah, what's the point of having Peacock? And, you know, like, jerks.
Yep.
Yeah, broadcast TV is dead. Long live pay for fucking services.
And commercials, which we thought we wouldn't have to do.
Yeah, right? Now, that's some bullshit. Dude, like, they're all doing it
thing.
Now.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too. Fucking, well, or pay either deal with commercials or pay $500 a month
what
for
you
your
used
fucking
to.
Service.
Yeah, pay what you used to and still have commercials.
Yeah. Netflix just went up to $17.99 a month.
I'm dropping their fucking, like, I couldn't tell you the last time I watched something
dude,
on there.
So, you know, I'm doing the five movies on an outlet.
Yep.
Fucking Netflix. I went on there. It's the same shit. Like, the stuff is so stale in there. There are movies. Like, it is. It's the same shit. I'm like, they haven't rotated any of these things or, like, nothing. There was, like, two new ones added. But
and now the new trend is all the movie production is going on to these streaming services. And previously, services like Apple and Netflix, they would periodically release a film in theaters before it was on their streaming service. The main reason for that is because if you want to win an award show, you got to be in theaters. Okay. Now they're backing out. Apple and Netflix have both said, you know what? We're going to do limited runs, one or two theaters, maybe just to try and, you know, to say we were in a theater to get the award, but we're not going to do wide releases anymore. It's all going to be pay for our service and get it.
Yeah.
That's annoying as fuck. And they're going to lose directors for that because there's a lot of directors that signed deals with these streaming services with the understanding that it would go to film first, you know, go to theaters first, and they're not. So now these directors are not going to be eligible for some of the awards that they would like to receive because they weren't in theaters.
Yep.
Bunch of bullshit. So now we found out there is a new streaming. There's a new production company, Sixth Dimension, which is part of Canon Films, I believe. They are going to set their very first title as the reboot of the 1984 slasher Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Oh, nice.
According to Deadline, the film will be coming our way from Cineverse, the company behind the Terrifier franchise, with writer-director Mike P. Nelson at the helm. Deadline has broken the news that Sixth Dimension is the new in-house genre label by Studio Canal. It has picked up the global rights, excluding North America, for the acquisition of Silent Night, Deadly Night. The new Silent Night, Deadly Night will be heading into production this spring, aiming to reach theaters by the end of the year. Cineverse will be releasing it in North America. You know, Silent Night, Deadly Night, I just bought the Part 1 and Part 2 Blu-ray collection. Mm-hmm. Just a great film. The first one especially.
Yeah.
Is like,
yep.
Yeah.
I don't think it needs a reboot, but, you know, this is, you know, they've run out of unique ideas, I guess.
Yep.
Hopefully you don't fuck it up too much.
It's a possibility. You get some good remakes, you get some bad ones.
Yep. Speaking of remakes, Mortal Kombat 2 has unveiled the new Johnny Cage poster along with the new logo for Mortal Kombat 2 movie, which is due to come out in October.
Oh, sweet. It's been fucking, like, what, 5 years?
It's been a couple years. 2021 was the one they released on HBO. Oh,
yep.
Yeah. So it's been, what, three years?
Yeah.
Going to be 4 years almost. Yeah, but very excited to see this.
Yep.
And the poster, if you look at it, you can see very clearly that is that is what's his face as Johnny Cage.
Urban.
Billy the Butcher. Yeah. Carl Urban.
Carl Urban, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Billy the Butcher.
Fantastic.
I was saying Keith, awesome. But that's the country
star. Yeah.
All right. Martin Scorsese has seen Nosferatu, according to an interview with Cineblend. He expressed his thoughts on the Robert Eggers film.
Just saw it myself.
It's amazing.
Yes, yes.
Anything he does, this guy is amazing. And this film is one of those things that when you leave the theater, you're still in that world. You're there. You're in Transylvania. It's really like, whoa, man, he is something else.
Oh, boy.
I liked it.
I just got the 4K. It came in the mail today. I really enjoyed that film. I think it was – everyone in that film was like top-tier acting except
– yeah, his friend, whatever that guy's name
except
was.
Except that fucking idiot that played Kraven the Hunter. I don't remember
I didn't think
name.
He was very good.
No, he wasn't. Everyone else was great.
And I thought the cinematography was great. It's just story. The story wasn't anything different for me. Like,
no.
Well, what it is he was trying to be as real. You know, think about the films of Robert Eggers mm-hmm. makes, right?
Yep.
Crazy ass shit.
Yep.
He makes mythology type stuff, you know, legend and folklore. He was trying to take the legend and folklore of Dracula and make it into, you know, a folklore period piece, and I thought it was really good. I rank it right up there with Bram Stoker's Dracula.
I would agree.
My vampire film.
I was disappointed in Nosferatu. The makeup and all that. He looked like a porn star.
Well, he was a rotting corpse. I mean,
I know. With the mustache, it was just different. I guess different.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on what you were expecting. I guess really.
It wasn't scary.
No, I don't think it was really meant to be all that scary. I mean there were a couple
even Bram Stoker's, Gary Oldman, creepy looking, right?
Yeah.
But
it was good. I did not like it.
No.
Yeah. All right. Linda, according to the Insider, which is a paid website for insider news from Hollywood, Linda Cardellini is in talks to star in the Crystal Lake series, which is a Friday the 13th prequel brought to you by A24 and Peacock.
Is that who played Velma in the Scoob movies?
That is correct. That is correct. She is hot.
She did La Llorona, I think, too, right? The Legend of La Llorona.
Something else, too, that I
She was the mom?
I forget.
Well, she was also Hawkeye's wife in The Avengers.
That's what I'm thinking of, yeah.
She was in Freaks and Geeks when she was a teenager. You know, that's pretty awesome. So she's in talks to play... the mom of Jason. What the hell's her name? I can't remember her name.
Oh, yeah.
Mrs. Voorhees?
Yeah. Mrs. Voorhees, that's great. Pamela Voorhees, that was her name. She is in talks to play Pamela Voorhees.
Oh, cool. So,
I don't know how that series is going to go. It's a prequel series. It's going to be on Peacock. I'm not going to watch it.
Well, she's
I'm not going to get Peacock just to watch it.
Yeah, nope.
No. Director Francis Lawrence is super happy with The Long Walk. The Long Walk has wrapped. I think we talked about that last month, and now it's in post-production. And Francis Lawrence is saying this film is something that he is very proud of. He's so happy about what they caught on film. And he says that fans of Stephen King and fans of the book are going to be very happy. Francis Lawrence, in case you don't know, he directed I Am Legend, which I looked him up and I'm like, oh, all right, it was okay. But he says in a quote to Collider, this is one of my favorite Stephen King novels. It's something that actually crossed my desk years ago, not long after I finished filming Constantine, which is coming out in 4K next month. When I was doing I Am Legend, I wanted to do it, but Frank Darabont actually scooped up the rights. People have tried to make it over the years, and no one ever really could. But I think we cracked it. I worked with J.T. Molnar, who did Strange Darling, and wrote a great draft. And then we came together really quickly and refined it. And this window, and we hit the right season to shoot it. And we put together an amazing cast. The cast was so good at their performances. They were absolutely great. I'm super happy with what we caught on film.
Sweet.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. The Long Walk is a great story.
That was a really good story.
Yep. I'm really excited to see what they do with it. It's a shame someone couldn't have made it into a movie sooner, because I think it's one of those stories that would be really great on film. But we'll see.
Especially right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of goes with the times.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. It's a eerie premonition of our future. All right. Dexter Resurrection picked up some new cast members. According to Deadline, I'm sorry, I'm going to butcher this name. Natare Guma Bahayu Mawine from The Lincoln Lawyer has been picked up on the cast.
Oh, him.
Kadia Starr from Law & Order SUV, Dominic Fumosa from Nurse Jackie, Emily Suarez from Up Here will join the cast of the Showtime's original drama series, Dexter Resurrection, as a series regular starring Michael C. Hall in the titular role of Dexter Morgan. Previously announced in the cast includes David Zahes, as director, as Detective Angel Batista, which I meant that guy obviously is coming back. James Remer as Dexter's father, Harry Morgan. Again, of course, he's coming back. John Alcott as Dexter's son, Harrison, of course. Uma Thurman as Charlie. And Peter Dinklage as Leon Praktor. I'm excited for it. I was really excited of how they ended off that New Blood. And this is a pickup after that, Dexter Resurrection. So, sounds good. All right.
One of these days, I'm going to start watching that.
You got to. It's good. It's a good show. I mean, think about it this way. It's a serial killer.
Killers.
He works as a blood spatter expert for the Miami Metro Police Department. And he kills killers. He kills people that are serial killers. He kills people that have gotten away with violent crimes, and they slip through the cracks of the law, so he kills them.
premise.
Yeah. And the thing is, he is a fucking sociopath. It's funny to watch him operate, that he has no sense of feelings, no sense of how to deal with other people. And people just think he's weird when really he's a complete and utter sociopath. It's just fantastic. Well, great show.
Gotta watch it.
True Detective Season 5 aims for a 2027 release.
I wonder who's going to be in that one.
This is in Deadline. The only notes that I looked at this, I read the article, I'm like, they didn't give you a bunch of meat, but what they did say is it's going to take place in New York and Jamaica Bay.
Okay.
You know, season 4 was pretty good, but the end was so unsatisfying.
Yeah, I agree. Yep. I was hoping for more.
Yep. Yeah. But I mean, most of the season was great. It was just really, it really grabbed you, pulled you in, it made you want to see what goes on.
Yeah, the atmosphere and then, was.
Yeah, that dark. Last episode was like, what?
Yeah.
What?
That's it?
That's it? There's nothing more to it than that? Natasha Lyonne is set to star in an adaptation of the horror comedy Basket Full of Heads, according to Deadline. I don't know that one. Here you go. This is Joe Hill's Basketful Heads. It's 7 comic book issues.
Oh.
It was released by DC Black Label, which is the Hill House Comics collection. This is the trade paperback, but what a fucking amazing comic. Like, Joe Hill's a great writer, and he writes a lot of comic books. This is probably one of his best comic book stories ever.
Check that one out.
It's a woman that it comes in. Comes in possession of a ancient Nordic Viking axe that when you cut somebody's head off, their head remains alive and talking.
Wow. That's awesome.
So every one of her victims, she carries around their heads in a basket, and they all talk to her.
Sounds like a movie or
a TV show. It's a fantastic comedic horror film. It's a very dark comedy, but it's fucking great. So
Natasha Lyonne would be perfect for that, right?
Absolutely. Basketball, I mean, guys, heads. did you watch the What If series? I mean, she was fantastic as Howard the Duck and Darcy's daughter.
Yeah.
I haven't seen season 3 yet.
What?
No, I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, man. Yeah, so notes on this. Bluestone Entertainment has secured the rights to Joe Hill's dark comedy and has tapped Leona and Anna Lily Amanpour for the project. Oh, so Anna Lily Amanpour, she's the director who did, A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night.
Yeah, yep.
That was a great, that was a fucking fantastic film. So I'm excited to have her on this too. That's pretty awesome. So it's going to be one of my favorite comic book collections with a fantastic director and a great actor. So that's awesome. That's awesome. Wait, did I fucking already have, I had this, I did. Oh, God damn it. All right. Well, I got a repeating story here, but with more details. Where the hell is it? Black Phone Season 2. So here's more notes from the Hollywood Reporter article. Scott Derrickson explained why he needed to make The Gorge before Black Phone 2. Action romance starring Anya Taylor-Joy and Miles Teller. Just 8 months before the horror sequel, which the new Dark Phone 2, Black Phone 2, he's calling a high school coming-of-age movie. He said, I really needed to make a big movie like The Gorge first so that I could focus more on the story of the Black Phone. I also have a window of time of the kids in high school so I can make a high school movie coming of age in the same way that the original was a middle school coming of age film. The Black Phone 2 is much more complicated script, has much more complicated world and an idea. It was thrilling to not repeat the first movie. Scott Derrickson shares, the worst kind of horror sequel is one where you try to do the same thing over and over and over again, but just more of it. That goes for any sequel of any genre, frankly. So we knew we didn't want to do that. So the best sequels are the ones that surprise you, and I think this sequel will surprise you. All right. I don't know how my notes got fucked up, but apparently I got distracted and I put the story in here twice. All right. Sam Raimi's Return to Horror, Send Help, gets a release date. January 30th, 2026. Initial reports call this Misery Meets Castaway. Early screenings have started. People are starting to see early screenings of it. They're not supposed to talk about it, but apparently they let it leak. Comedy adventure horror about a female put upon employee with her jerk boss. They're on a business flight together with their company, and the plane crashes on an island. Only the two of them make it. She has serious survival skills, which means she's his only hope.
It's an interesting concept.
Yeah. Your boss is huge. You have serious survival skills and you hate your boss. I'd let him die. I'd eat him. I'd eat my boss. Fuck it. All right. Shudder buys horror thriller Dangerous Animals. According to Variety Magazine, this has come out 6 hours ago. IFC Films / Shudder buys horror thriller Dangerous Animals. Sean Byrne from The Loved Ones and The Devil's Candy produces film. By the way, I was talking to some people that happened to, this year. I was looking at Sundance and I'm like, I don't want to rent any. I don't want to see any of the movies at Sundance. None of them piqued my interest at all. No. The entries were shit poor. There was hardly any horror. But this is the one film that somebody told me was worth seeing. Dangerous Animals. So I'm excited. And besides, The Loved Ones, fucking great film, right? The Devil's Candy.
I love that movie.
The Devil's Candy was another fucking great film too. So yeah. I'm excited. Show me some more from this guy. I'm game. Yeah. All right. That is all that I have for news. Anything from you guys?
I got one. You guys, fans of Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Yes.
Yep.
So they're rebooting the series and picking up where they left off. So Sarah Michelle Gellar's back.
Is coming Buffy. Back?
Wow. Yeah. Apparently they didn't want to do it unless they did it right. And she signed on because she likes the concept of what and how they're going to move forward with that universe.
Wow.
So
I wonder if she's going to train the next layer.
I would assume probably something like that. So yeah. I'm excited. I loved that series when it was out. And yep. So I don't know.
It was quite the series. Initially I wasn't a big fan of it because I really liked the comedic aspect of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it got to me. I became a fan. I think everyone becomes a fan after watching that show. It was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's all I have is just that they're rebooting that series.
I'm playing Silent Hill 2 Remake.
Oh, nice.
And it's freaking awesome.
Nice.
Still creepy as hell?
Yeah. That's why I'm loving it, because it's been forever since I played it, too, since...
Was the original out on, like, PS2? Not even PS2, maybe, like, original PlayStation?
I think it was 2, maybe.
It was PS2. Yeah.
PS2? But that's a long time ago, yeah.
That's how long
it's been. So it's like...
Dude, 1999, right?
Yeah, so that's how long. Yeah, 25 years.
Wow. Fuck. Fuck.
So it feels like, yeah, it feels like a new game. Some of this stuff comes back, but they did a really, really good job.
Sweet.
Yeah, but it's creepy, the atmosphere, the music, it's all good. Very good. That's all I have.
All right. Let's do our 5 flicks on a streaming service.
All right. So I recently subscribed to Paramount Plus, so I did a deep dive into Paramount Plus.
Cool.
Right.
Which is also Showtime.
Showtime.
I think Showtime and Paramount Plus are the same thing now.
That's where I'll be watching my Dexters.
Woohoo! Dexter!
Yep. A lot of 4K. I must say this too. A lot of good, lot of 4K and UHD content on there.
Yellow Jackets season 3.
Yep, and you don't have to pay extra for high def or anything dumb like that. Kudos to Paramount Plus.
Yes.
So no specific order. Talk to Me.
Yeah.
Fantastic movie.
That is a good one.
You know, I ordered that on 4K. It was on sale last week, or 2 weeks ago on Amazon for $5. The 4K edition was on sale for $5. I bought it. It never arrived, and I had to get a refund.
Oh, those bastards.
Yeah. Rip off. Yeah.
Well, Quiet Place. That one sort of, I mean, they came out with the, you know, the new movies, but the original.
Fantastic.
Really good movie when that first came out. Yeah. The Boy. I don't know if you guys, I'm sure you have.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That, I think that was creepy as shit.
Yeah, it was. Another one that sort of just forgotten, and I came across it and I was like, eh, maybe I'll rewatch that one. Last Voyage of the Demeter.
Yeah,
yet.
Oh, you have to watch that one, Chris.
I'd like to. Yeah, I just haven't yet.
Very
it's
good.
It's on there, so that works out better for me.
Yep.
I love that film. I love that film.
I know.
So it's a very unique take on Dracula.
That one was really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it didn't do well, but hey.
It didn't. I don't understand why.
I know.
Even they did largely practical effects except for the close-ups of the Dracula.
Yeah.
And I was impressed with that film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cinematography, the acting, fantastic.
The atmosphere, the whole thing. Yeah. Yeah. David Dastmalchian.
Yeah.
It was freaking amazing in that film.
Yep. And the last one on the list is the original Poltergeist. Not the remake, but the original.
Sweet.
They have that one on there.
I have that on 4K too. I also have Poltergeist 2 on 4K because that old guy is fucking creepy.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck.
God is in your holy temple.
It is fucking. Yeah. You're all going to die in there.
Are you afraid, sweetheart? Dude, that was the creepiest part, I think.
Dude, it was so. That part gives me nightmares. Just that old man gives me nightmares.
Yeah, when he's starting to talk to her. You know what I mean?
Even my daughter, I try to get my daughter to watch it, and she watched it. I'm not watching that.
Yeah. So scary that Anthrax used him, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Jeez. Very nice. All right. That was good. Fantastic. Fantastic. Now we got our top five. The top five this month, the top five 1990s horror comedy movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, starting to like.
Good category.
Like, it's dig now to try to find like new new categories to do.
This month it is Chris, Craig, Sal. All
right.
Okay, so my number five is Idle Hands, which just comes in right at the end of. The 90s, 99.
Okay. Just got that one on 4K. Just came out on 4K.
Oh, nice. Sweet. That's a great movie. I've watched that a bunch of times. Great cast. Funny. Yeah. Some good gore to it.
Yeah.
My number four is From Dusk Till Dawn.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of good things about that movie.
Cheech Marin is definitely the comedy relief in that, right?
Yeah. Yep. And, it was a good flick. Number three. Dead Alive. I hadn't seen that for the longest time until you guys kept saying, I can't believe you haven't seen that. I can't believe you haven't seen that. That movie's just like so over the top, like the gore and the comedy, and it's a great flick. Number two for me is Army of Darkness. How can you go wrong with Ash Williams and Deadites?
Yep.
And number one for me is, and this movie's been in a bunch of my my top five lists and probably top 10 lists, is Scream.
Nice.
Which kind of restarted the slasher genre in the mid 90s, and it was funny.
Like John Carpenter.
And that's it for mine. I actually have two honorable mentions.
Or Wes People Craven, Under the Stairs. Right?
Yeah, Wes Craven. Wes Craven.
People Under the Stairs and Gremlins 2 are my two honorable mentions.
Yeah.
People Under the Stairs, another Wes Craven film. Yeah.
Yep.
Fantastic.
All right.
That's a good list.
For sure. Okay, number five, I went From Dusk Till Dawn.
Nice.
That's fine.
Yeah, it had enough comedy in it for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
My Tom favorite Savini
was pretty funny too,
and yeah, some over the top. It was over the top horror too, like some of the blood, right?
Dude, but the best part overall was fucking Cheech Martin at the door of the titty twister.
Yeah.
We got old pussy, we got wet pussy, we got hot pussy, pussy, pussy.
Yeah,
all pussy lovers.
It was the best scene.
Yep.
If you can find better pussy anywhere else, then fuck it.
I love that film so much, man.
Yep. Number four, I went with Arachnophobia.
Yes.
Isn't that supposed to be being remade? They've been working on that remake for like three years now or something.
Yes, they have. I got a feeling that the screenings of it haven't gone well.
Did they mention anybody that's going to be in the cast or no?
Nope.
No. Okay. Just curious.
The original was great though. I thought, besides being kind of funny, it was like pretty creepy too. Like,
oh yeah.
Spiders scared the crap out of
me. Yeah, I know. I mean, typically absolutely. I'm like, spider movies, but you know.
They weren't joking when they said Arachnophobia. The amount of spiders and how creepy they were is pretty off the
wall. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. No, I mean, it was a nail biter, you know? Number three, I went with Army of Darkness for obvious reasons. Probably the funniest out of all three of them, I guess, right?
Probably.
Like nonstop.
Definitely. Yeah.
Nonstop with the comedy.
It was nonstop slapstick comedy in that one.
Yeah. Yep. Number two, Frighteners.
Oh, forgot about that one.
That one, anytime I can throw that on my list, that's one of my all-time favorite horror movies.
I'm still waiting for that one to come out on 4K.
That's going
to
be good, yeah. And that was like groundbreaking, too, with the special effects.
Again, another Peter Jackson film, just like the Dead Alive. Yeah.
And it holds up, too. Like I said, the effects on there, obviously it was early CGI, but
it still holds up.
It was really
good.
Well done.
Jeffrey Combs playing a sociopath nut job, man. That was fucking brilliant.
For sure. And the great Michael J. Fox.
Yep.
Number one, Dead Alive.
Nice.
So two Peter Jacksons back to back.
Nice.
And my list.
Wow. I'm laughing because I realize how close our lists are. Here we go. You ready?
I got the Cemetery Man for honorable mentions.
Oh, nice. Good one.
I don't think I've seen that one.
Oh, you have to see that.
Cemetery Man, huh?
It's nice to look at in some spots, too.
Oh, all right.
You know what I mean? If you know what I mean.
I got you. I feel you.
Sal knows what I mean.
Yes, indeed. I would say this. I still say that this, you know, comedy horrors of the 90s, there were so many of them.
Yeah.
There's so many of them.
There was.
We can't do decades.
Yeah.
Anymore. Like five,
I mean, you had the Ghoulies and all those B movies. I mean, the thing is that, well, I guess Ghoulies was intended to be funny, but.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
But I don't want to, I won't say anything. I don't want to spoil the list, but there was B movies.
We'll talk about it after.
There was B movies that weren't intended to be funny, but they were.
But they were, yeah. All right, here we go. Yep. My number five, From Dusk Till Dawn.
I think
all three of us got that as our number five.
For sure.
My number four, Arachnophobia.
Okay. My number four as well. Look at that.
Yeah. My number three, Idle Hands.
Okay.
That's great.
My number two, Army of Darkness.
Wow. They are very similar.
My number one, Frighteners.
Oh, okay. Look at that.
Holy crap. Yeah. That's crazy.
I love that film.
So Dead Alive didn't make your list.
It didn't make my list, I got two honorable mentions. Okay. My honorable mentions are Frankenhooker, which I just recently got a special edition Blu-ray of that.
That's also on Paramount.
Special edition.
Paramount Plus,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah. It has a director's cut of it, if you can believe it or not.
Oh, nice.
Frankenhooker is a great film to begin with, getting the director's cut with unedited scenes is pretty good.
I'm pretty sure I saw it a long time ago, but I can't for the life of me
Films where I'm sure you saw it the same way that I did. As you went into the VHS store, you saw the girl with
Hooker.
The green head and the stitched up neck, and you're like, what the fuck is that? And then you're like, you rent it and go, oh my God, that movie's insane.
Yeah, and I think if I did, I probably rented it with a bunch of friends, and we were like, watching it, but also, fucking around and stuff like that too. So I'm pretty sure I saw it, but
that was one of my honorable mentions. And the other honorable mention that I had was I can't read my own scribble. Tremors.
Tremors.
Again, I got that on 4K recently. That was released by Arrow Video.
How does that hold up on 4K though?
Fucking amazing. Okay. Amazing. The thing is, it was all practical effects back then, and they were really good.
Yeah.
They were really good practical effects. Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the problem here is like if you dig deeper, like there's so many other comedy horrors.
Yeah.
Like do you remember there was like Repossessed?
Yep.
Right?
That was Leslie Nielsen.
Leslie Nielsen doing like a parody. Of the Exorcist films. Yep. Like there were so many really good ones. Dracula Dead and Loving It. Another Leslie Nielsen that was fucking great. There's just too many comedy horrors, and I'm like, dude, five?
I got some of the Child's Plays too that came out in the 90s got like funnier as they went on.
Intentionally, yeah, they were comedy horrors intentionally, but. Dude, there were so many. I scribbled so many onto this, and I had to break that down into fucking five.
We could have split it up, man. I said, you want to do it?
But it seemed to me that you guys were hesitant. I'm like, all right, fine, we'll do the 90s. That's all right. It works. I mean, it forced me to really evaluate what films I really enjoyed. But yeah. Yeah. Great. That's a great top five list. It was good. Very good. I mean, considering the fact that we're not getting any input from our audience.
Yeah, and it's getting harder and harder, man.
Dude, did my camera?
Yeah, you're froze.
Yeah, my suddenly my camera is not working.
Suddenly frozen.
There it goes. Your camera is fucked. Thank you. Thank you, drive through. I don't understand. My camera's not fucked. Like, what's happening here?
You look like a small S right now.
Yeah, like I don't get what's happening. Maybe I got to restart my camera. I don't know. Let's try. Not that it matters. I mean, it's not like anyone else can see us, right? Oh, sorry, but your device is struggling to record.
Uh-oh.
What's going on?
This may be due to high load on your device. Try closing.
High load.
This week. Closed on that, thinking that had to do with my bullshit.
That's why you were late today, Sal?
I wasn't late. Was I late?
No, later than normal.
Yeah, well.
What is you were working on a high load.
Yeah, working on a load. All right, well, there's no video. Who gives a fuck? All right.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's fine. We're on our last thing anyway, so.
Yeah. All right, so let's get to our review. Our review this month is Getaway. Let's talk a little bit about Getaway. Let's go into some synopsis here. The Smith family's much-needed vacation to the remote Swedish island of Svalta takes a small turn when they arrive during preparations for a mysterious local festival that celebrates a dark history. Unsettled by the unfriendly locals and the strange rituals that they tried their best to try to make the best of their trip, stubbornly enjoying the island's isolation and natural beauty. However, as the festival looms closer, the family realizes something is far more sinister is unfolding, especially when they discover that the serial killer is on the loose. All right. Director Stefan Harris, producer Lee Kim, John Hedgman, Nick Frost, Aram Terzakian, Nick Spicer, Maxine Cotre. Screenwriter was Nick Frost. Distributor is IFC Films. Production company is Film Service Finland, Wayward Entertainment, and XYZ Films. The rating is R for sexual content, language, gore, strong, bloody violence. Genres, horror, comedy. The original language is British English. It was released December 6, 2024 in a limited theater release and then released on Shudder January 10th, 2025. The box office was $179,000 US. Oof. Yeah, that's not very high. The runtime is 1 hour and 26 minutes.
I don't remember being in the theaters. Like, I don't remember seeing it.
It said it was a very limited run. And again, it's a streaming service film. Had a limited run in order to try and win any awards if it could or whatnot.
Gotcha. When I first saw, like, I, you know, obviously Nick Frost kind of was a draw to me. And I wasn't sure. Like now after watching the movie, I was pronouncing it get away as in like get away from me, Con, but I think it's getaway.
Yeah, like getaway, like a
vacation.
Like a holiday.
Like getting away.
Yeah. So I was like, I kept calling it getaway, and that's probably more like getaway. So that's,
yep.
Yeah.
After you watched it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So it was a nice length. I thought an hour and a half for what they did was decent.
Dude, this thing is freaking out on my side over here. I'm getting all kinds of pop-ups.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It says you should download the Mac app instead of using the web browser, which is probably the case. You know why? Oh, it says it had to restart my recording track. See, I keep getting more and more pop-ups here. It's because, you know what it is? It's because Chrome recently upgraded, and Chrome is a fucking CPU hog piece of shit.
Well, you need that for Riverside, though, too.
Well, it says there's a Mac app for Riverside now, so yeah. I don't have to use this gas Chrome browser.
I'm using it on whatever the Microsoft is. The
Edge?
Edge.
Yeah, I'm using it
Microsoft
on
Edge Lord.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I kind of have to, so I have no choice.
Technology sucks ass anymore. Everything's getting worse. All right. Let's see what we got here. Can my camera come back on? No. Is my audio okay? Yes. It says it restarted a new track, which just means editing is going to suck. All right. So let's get to this movie. So the movie.
I think it's going to be kind of hard to talk about it without like any spoilers.
Well, as a spoiler head, let's give a spoiler heads up. But this is going to be a spoilery review. There's no other way around it. Sorry, folks.
Yeah. So, I was starting to wonder, like, if it was a good movie or not. Like, you know, the first, like, half hour. I mean, it was kind of funny, and it got a little creepy.
Well, it's
but
British,
it,
too, so that there's...
Well, yeah,
still.
True.
That's where
true.
I set my mark, is I'm like, all right, I'm going to set expectations, because first of all, it's Nick Frost, and yeah. Nick Frost wrote the screenplay, so you know it's going to be a lot like... Hot Fuzz or, you know, those other
Shaun
British,
of the Dead.
Yeah. Shaun of the Dead or Pub at the End of the World or whatever that other movie that they had.
Yeah.
So it's going to be something along the lines of that. So I set my expectations and I was pleasantly surprised because it kind of shifted in the middle that made me go, oh fuck, it's a completely different film than I thought it was.
Yeah. It caught me off guard. I didn't apparently like, there's a lot of clues that happen throughout the beginning of the movie.
I apparently missed all of them.
I
missed
I got it. See, I got it. I got it
I
right off the bat. I'm like,
did you really?
So it sort of ruined the, yeah. So I was like, cause I knew it happened. I was like, ah, shit. You know what I mean? I knew he did it. I was like, fuck.
Yeah. It totally threw me off. I liked the twist. It was nice. Yeah.
But like you said, it wasn't a twist. Cause like 10 minutes in the movie, I sort of put my finger on it. I'm like, fuck.
See, I didn't.
What gave it away?
I
what gave it away for you?
The ketchup on the jacket when he got his wallet.
Yes. Oh, fuck. Mm. I didn't even fucking think about that.
I missed that too.
Yeah.
Because I was reading a couple of reviews of it, and that's what a lot of people were saying, you know, that the big twist wasn't really a twist.
No.
Like, really?
Yeah. I was like, ah.
I didn't think it
sort of ruined it for me. Yeah.
Apparently, I'm functionally retarded because I did not catch on to that.
But it was before the twist, it was kind of creepy. You know, that dude who rented the house to him.
Yeah.
He was a weirdo.
Yeah,
he was
right?
a weirdo. Like, you know,
yeah. Reminded him a lot like myself, but yeah, I don't know.
I liked it because they were plotting to kill these three, not knowing who they were. And then it just like flipped and totally went bonkers. Like just the amount of blood and stuff like that. Like,
yeah,
was nice.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, it went off the edge with the gore and stuff. I thought it was pretty awesome, the amount of gore and crap.
And it got a lot of funnier, too, in the second half. Like, he kept repeating this. Like, there was some jokes that kept, like, being brought throughout the movie, which I kind of, you know, a lot of callbacks, which I thought was kind of fun. And then, like, I didn't realize, I just assumed that they were a family, even though the kid and the girl seemed like the, you know,
yeah, like you could sort of sense something was up there too, because with the
and
sexual stuff.
They kept calling each other mommy and daddy, and it was like, I just like,
it was fucking creepy.
Why do they keep doing that? Like, it's like, you know, So it had like a creepy factor going on.
Yeah, they were doing it a bit more in front of the kids than most
couples do. No, and then the other scene that made me go, what the fuck is really going on here, was the scene where the girl goes into a room and sees like the body outline, and she goes, where's my underwear?
Oh, yeah,
you're sniffing. Yeah, yeah, but yeah, she says to the brother, it's like, listen, if you grabbed him, it to catch a whiff or something, yeah. I'm like, what? What the fuck?
Yeah, that's what I was like, dude, that's his sister.
Yeah, she said it like with a straight
so
face.
Like, okay, right? She did it like so casually, like it was nothing. I'm like, all right, then they're not really brother and sister.
And then, yeah, and then the dad said something to her too one time. She's like, I like cocaine and fat dicks or something like that.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is another high sign, like she's not really the daughter. You know what I mean? Like talking to her dad.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but then when they killed the kid there at the end, I was like, holy shit. Like, I wasn't expecting that. Like, there was a couple times I was surprised.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good film. At first, like you said, that first half hour, I was trying to figure out exactly what's going on. It wasn't really grabbing. It didn't really reach out and grab my attention.
No, not really.
Films do. But yeah. Overall, like watching it, I was surprised multiple times. I thought when the group was talking like, oh, we're gonna kill like we did 30 years ago. I'm like, oh shit, they're gonna hunt down this family. And yeah, like, no, it's kind of a mediocre horror film. You know, they're going to hunt down the family. It's a typical thing. And then all of a sudden, it's like the family's the killers. I'm like, what the fuck? That was fucking
and
insane.
They really enjoy killing.
Oh, well, you can tell. Yeah, they're like, oh, I feel so good. You know, we're here. And it's like, you in another reason, you're like, you sort of couldn't wrap your head around, like, why are they so happy? And, you know, why they go to this weird remote island and they're loving it. You know what I mean? And you're like, because they knew what. They knew what was going to happen, right?
Yeah. It was pretty wild. I mean, it was really wild. I was really impressed by it. I wouldn't say it was like a 5-star film, but
No, but it was a fun movie. The second half was fun.
There was a lot of funny scenes with the murder and slashing and stabbing and then the girl gets shot, and the way they try to play on some of the people on the island, I was pleasantly surprised, and I was like, you know, it's this is what I would expect from Nick Frost, and it worked out pretty good. Yeah.
Yep.
I agree.
I think this is a sign that, you know, Shudder is buying some decent films. They have a lot of films on there that are kind of weird and very kind of niche for people that like certain types of horror. But overall, some of the more recent purchases.
He must have signed a contract because he was in that movie, The Black Cab.
Yep.
To Nick Frost. And
well, I think it was part of, I think it's part of this production company. That XYZ Films, right? The Black Cab was part of that too, right?
Yes. Yes.
I wanted to see that one. I haven't seen that one yet.
It's good, neat. It's a different. Yeah, it's pretty.
Yeah.
Neat.
Let's see. I'm gonna look them up. I think, is this a British company?
I've seen XYZ in the past, and they've done some good. I want to say it is probably European because
it
was like
it is European, and
the canal, that movie I think was XYZ. I don't remember.
Ash, which is a new one that's just come out. The Getaway. The Ritual. All right. The Ritual was great. That's an excellent film.
Yeah.
Seven Veils. The Furious. The Trip. Hollow Road. In the Cold Night. White Mars. Night Patrol. That was a pretty decent film. Skywalkers. Black Cab was not part of that. So then who did Black Cab? Interesting. Black Cab was released by, that is AMC and AMC and Shudder.
Shudder, it was an original.
Yeah, and let's see, who wrote that one? Was that also him? Where the hell is it?
It wasn't really a comedy, though.
No, that one wasn't. The screenplay. No, he didn't write the screenplay on that one, but he did star in it, Nick Frost. Interesting. So it just may be coincidence that the films that he's involved in are purchased by Shudder. Pretty awesome. All right. Yeah, I mean, overall, the comedy level got pretty good near the end. The gore was pretty awesome. There wasn't a lot of horror, per se.
Other than scary.
Yeah, other than the gore of it and the what they tried to make as this mysterious cult-like behavior of these islanders.
I kind of enjoyed the fact that they were chasing around some of those cult members that were still in costume from their play.
Yeah.
Like the guy in the spider costume or the squirrel. That was fun.
Yeah.
Well,
the guy in the spider costume fucking killed himself. He was like, fuck this. And he took the sword and stabbed himself.
They cut the bill off the duck and it took that lady's her nose face off.
Yeah. I mean, there were some really creative kill scenes in there. And like you said, the surprise at the end at the fire when they killed the boy, the one that was supposed to be the son. And then the best of it all is they light the island on fire and then they fucking get away with all of it.
Yeah, the cop brings the cop comes in at the right time and
to save them.
Yeah.
And then the serial killer,
could be a sequel.
The serial killer that was the misdirection was asleep on the fucking boat next to the dock. Yeah. And as he's running away, the cops shoot him dead.
It was good.
It was a good, funny film. I'm going to say 3 stars from me.
Where I'm going to.
3 stars? All right.
Yep.
That's an American Nightmare 3 car. 3 stars, ladies and gentlemen. 3 stars.
Skulls. We'll call them skulls. We'll do stars. 3 stars.
I was thinking we might want to consider, and maybe we'll take some feedback on this. the feedback that's non-existent. Again, I just want to say, as we're wrapping up this episode, thank you everyone for listening. Any suggestions for future podcasts, subject matters, film reviews, top 10 lists, or general feedback at all, you can call us at our voicemail, Google voicemail, 1-562-247-5855, and leave us a voicemail. I'm not going to answer the phone when you call. Just call and leave a voicemail. Tell us what you think. Give us some feedback. Or you can email us at feedback@the-american-nightmare.com. You can also find us on Blue Sky at the-american-nightmare.com. That is our Blue Sky handle. We're using our domain. Isn't that fun? So follow us on Blue Sky. Leave us some feedback there, or you can leave us some feedback on this phone number, but let us know what you think. And I'm thinking about changing our review system. Instead of just doing a generic 5 stars, maybe let's get a little more in depth. Let's maybe break it down into 4 categories with stars for each of those 4 categories, whether that's special effects, visual effects, or cinematography or something. Let's discuss it, maybe take some feedback, and let's come up with 5 categories to do 5 stars, or 4 categories to do 5 stars each, to give us a better, more rounded kind of rating. Because looking at films like this, you kind of go, that's 3 stars. But you got to kind of weigh in your head, well, what makes it 3 stars? What was great about it? What wasn't?
Yeah, like the acting could have been through the roof, but the story sucked or something.
Right. Or you could have films where the visual effects were absolutely stunning. It was A-level actors, but the story was total shit, you know? Yeah,
Terrifier.
Exactly. So I think we need to come up with a more, a better way of kind of pulling that together. And I think, not that we're some sort of professional reviewers, but just to give our people listening to really listen to what we have to say rather than just saying, yeah, I relate with these guys. I take your word on 3 stars. Let's just say, let's break it down and how we feel about these particular categories.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that way, if you're a person that loves visual effects, you're going to be like, yo, they gave it 5 stars. I got to see this film. That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. And like I said, feedback. All right. Thanks, everyone.
All right.
Later. All right.